Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editor talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazine. It's going to be a scorcher here in Trevo's today.
I love it.
More than 80 degrees. I love it too. Mm-hmm. Kathy Houston, do you have your pool open?
Yes, it's open. Want to come swimming?
Who here has been invited? Anyone?
Yeah, are the ducks still there?
Crickets?
They're still there.
Crickets?
Yeah, Steve's still having a duck war.
Ooh, there's ducks in the pool. Mm-hmm. How do you get rid of them?
It's not easy.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you here. And we have a special guest this morning. Rachel Abraham is our intern. Rachel, you are in school where?
I graduated from Penn State.
Oh, so you just graduated.
Girl.
You're a Nittany Lion.
Yes.
Do you guys, I just found out I was at Penn State for the first time for a volleyball tournament last weekend. Now, I know you know the answer, Rachel, but does anyone else know what a Nittany Lion is? Because I just found out.
It's a mountain lion from Mount Nittany.
Did I tell you that already?
No, I went to school at Lock Haven, right up the street from the
I passed
valley.
Lock Haven. I waved.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Ooh, you went the long way.
Yes. So anyway, yeah, I thought it was a type of lion, but no, it's a mountain lion that roams the Nittany.
Did you ever see one, Rachel?
No, I have not.
Do they give you instructions on what to do if you encounter one?
Scream.
They really don't, because there's Mount Nittany, and people do hiking there, and... Never.
And no one's gotten bitten.
No.
And there's lions there.
I think that's probably in the olden days.
Yeah.
Right?
In the days of the Indians.
I have a groundhog.
Back when Kathy was in college, they had to worry about those things. All right, Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here.
I am.
Joe.
What?
What's going on with you this week?
Wow. We have a groundhog in our backyard.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not taking care of this
What's
one.
What's worse, that or a duck? What, did you take care of a groundhog before?
No, I took care of the squirrels. No,
Well, how do you take care of squirrels?
You shoot them with a BB gun.
What? Oh, take care. I thought she meant, like, feed them.
Oh, no, I don't tend to.
Give them
I don't
a comfortable
kill the
bed to sleep
no,
in.
No, I don't kill the squirrels. If you shoot them enough, then they stay away.
Well, yeah, because they're dead.
No, I don't kill them. They just scurry away. They run away. We have three baby bunnies in the backyard, but we got this big, huge groundhog. So I called animal control, and they're setting a trap today. A humane trap. They'll trap it, and then I'll take it out.
Michelle Bell, what kind of critters do you have lurking in your...
I have monkey and mouse. Two cats.
All
right.
The size of four cats total.
We have a big show for you today. Today's calling question is how to handle a PR faux pas before it turns ugly. We certainly don't want it to turn ugly, do we, Kathy?
No, absolutely not.
If you have any tips or questions about PR problems, call us at 215-953-4979. And, Joe, we have a huge prize package today.
We have a fantastic prize package.
If we put you on the air, what are we going to give you?
You're going to get the $25 Visa gift card. You're going to get the finger puppets, the hand fans, and you'll get some logoed ASI radio drinkware.
Wow.
That's a good deal.
That is a good deal.
So call us today, 215-953-4979. 4979, right?
That's right. And what else is on tap for today's show, Joe?
Well, we have 5 traits of micromanaging. We're also going to look at how to protect a company from divorce, 7 tips to building your brand's reputation online. We're going to look at why doing competitive intelligence is important. We have a few other topics. We have our favorite things, but let's get the whole show started with the industry news in 60 seconds. Michelle.
Thanks, Joe. We begin this morning with supplier acquisition news. Crystal D has acquired Las Vegas-based Crystal Impressions, which will now move to Crystal D's operation in Minnesota. Chris and Allison Robbins, the former owners of Crystal Impressions, will continue to run the business and will move the company to Minnesota. On to more supplier news. Victorinox has taken over full responsibility for its travel gear product license from industry supplier TRG Group. Victorinox will now be solely responsible for the sales and marketing of its line within the ad specialty and incentive markets. See Promogram today for details. Technology news now. Data security isn't top of mind for small businesses, according to a new survey. Only 32% of small businesses had backed up their data at all on the day they were surveyed, and 15% of the companies surveyed said they hadn't backed up their data within the past month. On to general economic news. Consumer confidence rose to its second highest level in 6 years in May. After a drop-off in April, the Confidence Boards Index showed that consumers, their outlook on the strength of the economy rebounded well last month. The index is now well above where it was this time last year. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
We have the baseball, buddy.
Okay. I guess
everyone blank stares. You'll have to watch to find out what the baseball buddy is.
I can't wait, personally. Joe, that's interesting news. Crystal Impressions was purchased by Crystal D. If you recall, they've been number one in the number one twice in the last 3 years on our Console Best Places to Work list, and we visited them 2 years ago, and one of their sales reps showed up for breakfast with us in a showgirl costume. And what did she give you?
She gave me an Elvis costume to wear. So I put on this Elvis costume, and then we got to ride in a little mini with our luggage. Going, she was right to the airport.
With the top off.
With the top off, riding down.
And you were sweating bullets.
Yeah, and we stopped and got our picture taken in 110-degree weather with you in an Elvis costume, and Big Bird was there.
Big Bird.
So we have very fond memories
of
Crystal Impressions, but that's a great company. All right, we have Leighton Lee on the phone. Leighton's from ETS Express, and he's got our Product Safety Minute this morning. Good morning, Leighton.
Good morning, everyone. While I'm listening to the banter about the Elvis costume, two songs came to mind, Hunka Hunka Burning Love and You're Nothing But a Hound Dog. So,
Are you saying Joe's a Hunka Hunka Burning Love?
I think he is.
Or a hound dog.
I think he is, no.
Well, you know, I think he's an attractive man.
Thanks, Leighton. Wow. Will I see you in Chicago?
Might I buy you dinner?
Oh, yes, of course. All right, more serious stuff. Today's Product Safety Minute is a little bit of a refresher course from something I did about 2 years ago on Product Safety Minute. And it's the key elements of safety and compliance for drinkware. Now, we haven't touched on this in a while, but I think it's time. There are two main regulations that apply to all drinkware, and almost every distributor that I know at one time or another buys or sources drinkware for their customers. So it's really important to know, especially with all the regulations going on with CPSIA, FDA, and Prop 65. So FDA and Prop 65 are the two main regulations that we should all be aware of. FDA relates to all surfaces and all components that have contact with food or drink. So those of you distributors who are sourcing drinkware, make sure that you get test reports that show that the proper FDA testing has been done. All plastic materials, all silicone materials must be tested so that they don't leach out chemicals out of the material into the food and drink. We call those migration tests, also known as leaching tests, so that there's no chemicals that leach out of those materials into the drink. Prop 65 is more stringent than FDA. So if any articles are coming to the state of California, my wonderful home state, with the most Elvis impersonators in the country here in Hollywood and L.A., we want you to make sure that you either test to ensure that those drinkware items comply with Prop 65 or have a warning label on them. We've talked ad nauseum about Prop 65 over the last couple of years. I cannot stress that enough because violations are expensive and very embarrassing and can damage your brand and your customer's brand. There are other chemicals that we also have to be mindful of when testing for drinkware, and that's BPA. We all know what BPA does for children. So any items that are intended for children, and some states ban BPA even for adult sports bottles, so make sure BPA is not present in the drinkware. Phthalates are another chemical line that must be observed and tested to ensure that they're not in the drinkware items as well. So last but not least, the decorations. Lead and soluble heavy metals are two main tests that we always ensure that the decorations, the inks that are used, are safe for drinkware. So always ensure that you obtain the test reports on the drinkware blanks as well as on the inks that are used in decorating the items. And that is our Product Safety Minute. You all have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leighton. That was Leighton Lee from ETS Express. We're going to go to the phones now. Today's call-in question is, what is the best way to handle a PR problem? Call us at 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, you'll win the ASI prize pack. We have Drew on line 4. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning.
Drew, what's your question or comment this morning?
I have a issue that my former employee, and he's disgruntled for a lot of reasons. And he's basically just gone to on social media and Glassdoor.com, and he's said a lot of nasty things that really paints both my company and myself in a negative light. So, and it's really hurting morale at the company, and I'm afraid it's going to hurt my sales or my clients or other areas of my business. So I'm not sure what to do.
You know, the Glassdoor is an interesting one because it's really mostly disgruntled people from what I've seen that post on that. And so, you know, each company, if you look at, and, you know, no company is different. Almost every company has negative comments as well as some positive ones. But what would you all suggest?
You know, I think you have to be careful. I think you have to, you can, and I've been on Glassdoor.com, you can refute or you can have a rebuttal to an employee's comment, but I think you want to caution yourself not to be overly defensive or aggressive in the way that you do that. Maybe say something like, you know, I understand what this employee is saying. You know, the employees who are still here have a different view of the company, and I'm happy to talk to the employee offline. But you don't want to appear to be too defensive or combative, because that just makes you look like, you know, you really do have issues.
The other thing you can do, and I certainly wouldn't require anyone to do this, but if you have employees who, you know, love working in the company, you can, you know, invite them, you know, not require them, but invite them to post anonymously on sites like that if they would like. And, you know, if you trust them, I mean, that's a good way to increase your scores. But I would also say, you know, I would sort of ignore some of the sites because people do write a lot of those off as, you know, being places for disgruntled employees, and control what you can on social media. I mean, if you've got your own company, great Facebook site, if you have employees tweeting, I mean, that's a better representation of your company than some of those sites. And if you've, you know, I'd say, you know, overpower them with, you know, all the great things that your company has.
I would, you know, I agree. I would ignore those sites. I mean, because they are for disgruntled.
What if you're being deluged, though, with, you know, constant negative comments?
Well, I know. I mean, unless that disgruntled employee is super crafty, they're only, you know, each computer is only allowed to submit one comment to Glassdoor. So unless they're going around to, you know, which you could, I'm sure, go to multiple people's computers. I mean, eventually,
Facebook, they can
don't
comment.
You think eventually they're going to, like, get a new job or get tired of it?
But I think that part of the equation here, too, is also be saying that spring down morale at the company. You need to have a meeting, a group meeting with everyone to air everything out to find out, you know, are people, you know, just as disgruntled as this person who left?
Yeah, that's
or, you
a good
know,
point.
What do they like about, you know, working there? What don't they like about working there? What do they do well? What can they do better? You have to get that out in the air, you know, so you make sure that if someone is exited or if someone decides to leave the company, they're not going to a glass door and, you know, and posting things that aren't so happy.
You know, it's an interesting anecdote. We had a freelancer once. I mean, she didn't work on staff with us, but I kind of dismissed her and said that, you know, I wasn't going to use her services anymore. And I'm not on Facebook, so I didn't see it, but she flamed me online. I didn't have the ability to respond because I'm not on Facebook. But I think that that was a good thing because she was so over the top in her criticisms that other people chimed in and said, you know, you may want to dial it down a notch, which made me look better because I didn't have a response.
Right. Yeah. Those things.
And if I was
if
on
it's
Facebook,
one person.
I for sure would have responded.
If it's one person,
nice things
those things die away. But yeah. Like Joe said, if you think you have a real problem and there's other people, well, then that's
it.
A different issue.
Yeah. I got flamed on the radio. You know that.
By who?
Someone who used to work in our department who...
Not on our radio show.
Not on our radio show, but on this person.
Well, that just ups
show.
your you know, popularity, it's like, okay. I think. All right. Well, thanks for calling. Drew, stay on the line for your ASI prize pack. On line three, we have Sophie. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks.
Good. Well, I have a problem. My company supplied the promotional products, and that's all we did. We just supplied the products to an organization that's been all over the local news because it's under investigation for mishandling funds. So I want to make sure that my company's name isn't tainted. I was wondering if you have any advice on that.
I mean, I just think it's part of doing business. I mean, if you don't know that they're doing something shady there, I mean, how are you supposed to protect against that? So, you know, if it comes up, you know, if your name comes into the news or reporters are calling you, I mean, I think that, you know, since you're unaware of what their dealings are, you know, I think you'll be okay. I would just pay attention to the news, local news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually wouldn't do anything unless they come to you.
Right,
first.
It's possible that you
to get out in front of it, you're just going to bring more attention to something that may not be an issue.
Right. Yeah, right. Because chances are nobody's going to ask where they got their promotional.
Hey, where did you get that pin from?
Well, it depends. I mean, if they're really egregious in what they're doing with their accounting, and they look at every line item as far as how they're spending what, it could come back to it. But I would reach out.
But you could be ready with a comment. But I wouldn't put anything out there.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck. Stay on the line for your ASI prize pack. Michelle, we have some Facebook comments on this topic.
We do. You know, it's interesting. Andy and I were talking about this topic because, you know, famously in the past 2 weeks, it's the way the New York Times has handled their PR issue with Jill Abraham and, you know, the mistakes that, you know, Sulzberger, the editor or the publisher, made in the way he did not get out in front of it. And Adam Brown here from Motivators is saying, take responsibility and resolve issues quickly, which is something he did not do right off the bat, Mr. Sulzberger. Solving a big problem quickly can be one of the best ways to show how strong you are. And then we have a comment from Danielle Lum who says, to foster good public relations, a company must work at it every single day, building up the bank of corporate goodwill. Then, should something happen, you get out in front of it, act accordingly, using the good name that you've already built, and tell the public that you'll fix it, and then do fix it. And when you're done, tell them what you did to fix it. The corporate goodwill you created before the crisis will help you keep the public on your side because they will want to give you the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's a really good point.
That's really good advice. And, you know, they say that sometimes customers are more loyal if you make a mistake, but, you know, handle it well than if you hadn't made the mistake at all. So that can actually win over people.
You know, it's funny. She's, and Danielle apparently is a teacher at the University of Hawaii, good for her, who handles PR issues. And she said the bottom line is that you can't just do public relations when you're in a crisis, which is what too many companies do. You have to have a plan in place, and it's a daily act of knowing how to handle things like that. And Eric Campbell says, be transparent, present a solution, speak with care and caring, and do it in public. Be accountable and be present.
All good suggestions. All right, well, those are our Facebook comments. We're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, Haynes. And when we return, Michelle is going to tell us 5 traits of micromanagers. Yikes, I hope I don't have any of those.
Haynes-branded printware has a new website designed specifically for screen printers and promotional product distributors. HaynesInc.com features detailed product information and resources to help you make the most of Haynes t-shirts and fleece. For the first time, you can download high-res front and back hollows of every product in every color in the format and resolution you need. Apparel pages are organized by color and product line, so you can easily find exactly what you're looking for. In addition to high-res hollows, you will also find helpful sales tips on every product page. Each product is assigned a helpful return on investment scenario to illustrate the untapped return potential for you and your customers in every interaction. In our resources section, a dedicated return on investment page provides additional questions and insight to help you better understand how to meet your customers' needs with better products and better guidance. Visit HaynesInc.com today for high-res hollows, sales tips, and many more resources.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Michelle Bell is here to talk about 5 traits of micromanagers. There's nothing I like least.
Less.
There's nothing I hate more.
Right, exactly. Than micromanaging. So I'm praying that I don't have any of these tactics.
You know, I would say that all of the managers in our department, that none of us have these, maybe me more than anybody, but I would say overall, none of us have these traits, thank God. There are 5 of them. I'm only going to read 3, but we will post them online. Number 1, measuring too many things. They say with the advantage of technology, it's true that you can measure your business more accurately and in detail than ever before, but the disadvantage is that technology makes it too easy to measure too much, and you get overwhelmed. Measuring so much becomes not clear as to what the data really means, and it's classic micromanagement. So the solution to that is for every job, select 1 or 2 metrics that define success for that job and ignore everything else.
That makes sense.
Next, and this is a classic one, intervening too much. Helicopter managers are as bad as helicopter parents. You guys know helicopter parents? Are they bad?
They swoop in.
Yeah.
Okay. This says they create helplessness in the people that they're trying to help. The only way that people can grow is by making mistakes, which means that the manager can't be jumping in all the time to fix things. The solution to that would be to provide guidance when asked, but let your employees fail. If they can't or don't learn from their mistakes, then perhaps they're employees that aren't worth keeping. And lastly, setting too many priorities. Managers confuse employees when they have a list of priorities, all of which are more or less equally important. So employees don't know what to tackle first because to the manager, you know, he's saying everything is a priority. This creates micromanagement because that's the only way to keep all the plates spinning. The solution to that is to set one overriding priority for each employee or each team or each group and let them sort out how to tackle the goal or objective, which I think
those
is
are great tips.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to put all those online at asicentral.com/radio. Joe.
Yes.
We've been talking about building your brand's reputation online and PR, and you have some additional tips for us
today. There's seven of them. I'm going to give you a handful of them. And again, like Michelle says, we'll post this whole article online. The first one is to be vigilant. In other words, you got to, if you have a disgruntled employee, you have to look at things. Or if you got people exiting the company, you have to look at things like Glassdoor, pay attention to social media, see what people are saying about you online, and then be prepared to respond if you need to respond. One of the things is to be active. So in other words, if you're going to be using social media, you want to be where your clients are. If your clients aren't on Twitter, don't go on Twitter. If your clients aren't using Facebook, don't use Facebook. But if they are using those tools, you need to use them. Be consistent with your message. So your message should be consistent throughout your whole entire company. With your social media presence, everything should have that same message. And when you develop that message, you've got to make sure that everyone is on point with it. And also be proud of what you do. Be proud of what you do, figure out what it is, and make sure that, you know, they say in this article to include things like a little sign you want to put in your lobby, whatever you might have, a motto or a slogan. Put that out there. Give it to all employees so they can put it on their desk. Put it at the end of your, you know, email signature lines and stuff. Just be proud of what you do. So anyway, we're going to put this whole article online at asicentral.com/radio.
Sorry. Those are good tips. Thank you. Kathy, I'm interested in this topic because it says that you're going to talk about how to protect your company from divorce. Now, do we mean divorce among the leaders, the owners?
Yeah, the owners.
Because as we know, our industry has a lot of family businesses. So this is an issue that probably comes up from time to time.
Okay, first of all, it's all about like not making things personal. Asking your spouse for a covenant to protect your property if the marriage implodes might be awkward, but you should ask for that up front, and you should actually get a prenuptial agreement before you wed to see exactly what's going to be yours and exactly what's going to be the other party's. Declare your business non-marital property so that it can't be taken as part of the divorce settlement. Pay yourself. You may be tempted to take sweat equity instead of a tangible paycheck, but avoid it if possible because it jeopardizes your ownership claim. And don't mix the money. You have to be very careful to avoid commingling non-marital assets with marital assets. So if you inherit $500,000, that money belongs to you. But if you use it to buy a house with your husband, it becomes a marital asset. So don't be doing that with your business.
All right. Well, we have more tips to put online at asicentral.com/radio. But this can be a sticky situation.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what else can be is employing children in the business. We used to write a lot of articles
on family businesses
in Counselor. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, people would employ children who were not, you know, cutting it in sales or whatever their job was. And
then it's tough.
The question is, we had one situation where they had employed the child in-law and their child, and the in-law was cutting it, but not the child, and they had to fire the child.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Which is tough to do when the kid's seven.
Anyway, so those tips will be online as well. Michelle, we've talked a lot about managing millennials. It's a hot topic these days, and you have some additional tips for us today.
I do, but I'd like to ask Rachel, who's, I think, with the exception of Lauren, the only millennial at this in this room.
Yep. What year does millennials start? Maybe I just made the cut.
When were they?
Is that
born?
Are
like
you
90?
In your 20s or early 20s?
You're in your
20s. Teens and 20s. Yeah. Millennials, yeah.
Teens and 20s. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm, I just...
Not us.
Just,
yeah, you just made the cut.
It's definitely not us. Rachel, what would you look for in a job? Like, what would appeal to you? Would it be perks? Would it be flex time? Would it be the salary?
I mean, it's really getting the hands-on experience in what you majored in. And, like, today I was given my first assignment. I'm going to be writing an article, interviewing people. I majored in print journalism, and that's what I want to do. Like, they don't want to be given like errands that have nothing to do with what they majored in. That's
so you're not gonna, you don't want to go pick up Joe's dry cleaning.
So you're not gonna
so
get
much.
My lunch.
I wouldn't.
No, so you're saying though, challenging work that you're interested in is the most important thing for you right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is interesting because I think that that's more often than not the case. But the perception is that millennials are lazy, that they just want to do what they want to do, that they want to work from home. And I don't think that that's true all the time. You know, this article that we'll post online makes an interesting point that the people who are now in positions of authority who are hiring millennials when they were the young kids coming into jobs, they were no day at the beach either.
Right.
I mean, perhaps I was a nightmare when I was.
It's perhaps. You still are.
Well, I will remind you, Michelle, that when you interviewed some interns, I think not this round, but maybe last year, someone did ask you if they could work at home full time as an intern. Which, you know, an intern's job is really to get, you know, to give them exposure to the workplace. So that would be kind of difficult.
That's just that one person.
No, no, it's just the one person. Yeah. Well, we have Rachel here as a shining example of someone.
You now represent all millennials. So whatever you say, no, it's going to be covenant.
In every age group, yeah, you will have people like that. I mean, I interviewed a woman probably 60 a few weeks ago, and who was saying, you know, she'd like to work here, and you know, work at home 3 days a week or something. So it's, you know,
yeah,
that's.
I would say that the thing to remember is that this generation in particular, meaning the millennials, they grew up seeing the expansion of income inequality, broken promises of corporations, dwindling benefits, and a doubtful retirement future. So their confidence is a little more shaken than perhaps, you know, boomers were or Gen
Xers.
Shaken?
Don't be shaken.
Rachel looks very happy. But, you know, again, I mean, when I went into the job force, it was during Desert Storm, and the economy was horrible, and we were in a terrible recession. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's cyclical.
It is.
Yeah.
So here's what to do if you have millennials. Here's what they're really looking for. Offer sufficient office training. Correct errors without attacking. Recognize and reinforce the right behavior. Seek to understand systemic problems that you may have created that drive unwanted behavior. Respect them and provide a good example yourself, which is really all basic things. What this is saying is that millennials aren't any different, really, than different generations.
Right, exactly.
They want a job that they feel valued at, and that they can, you know, feel like they're, you know, doing a good thing and, you know, what they went to school for, and they just want to be treated fairly.
Can I bring up the story about Joe talking to an intern 9 years ago about when he was young, there wasn't jeans day on Monday?
That's Joe.
Things changed here.
Oh, great.
When I started here, we were wearing a tie. I would have to have a tie on today.
Well, you look very dapper today.
Thanks.
All right.
With my liner of my jacket.
Anyway, those are some good tips. We're going to put those online too at asicentral.com/radio. We have just enough time in the show for the editors to talk about their favorite products of the week.
Isn't this Michelle's favorite section?
We're going to go with you. This is Michelle's favorite section. We're going to go with you because you've got some little foamy fun things.
Yes.
Foamy
fun. All right, so this is a pack. It includes foam gaskets. 8 of them are for your switch, your light switches at home. And 8 of them are for your wall outlets. This is what they look like. So you put these behind those plates, and it helps with energy savings. You know, heat will escape through them. Cold air can, you know, escape through them too. So it's good for homeowners. Great for energy companies. I know in our area, there's always a different energy company that wants us to move off of Pico. But they're great for home show giveaways at a trade show booth, heating companies, air conditioning companies, anyone in the home industry. This is a great little product. You can get this from Energy Saving Products, Inc.
And why do you always memorize?
And it's EnergySavingProductsInc.com.
Because Joe goes the extra mile, and they have you can have a little logo.
Yes.
You're,
now
right?
The gaskets aren't customized, but the card in front customized. You put your own message in there, your logo, your contact information. I think it's a great little giveaway, and it's really smart. You put these behind your outlets.
All right, Kathy, what do you have?
Okay, mine is the Bubba 128-ounce sport jug, and it's perfect for backyard barbecues, tailgating, company picnic giveaways, camping, fishing trips, you name it. And I think it would be great to put my world-famous sangria in. We've all tasted it, right?
Yes, they talk about it in Spain because it is world-famous.
And it has a handy spout and handle, and it's by Norwood by Bit Graphic, ASI40480.
All right, Michelle, why don't you take us home today?
Yep. So mine would be ideal for wineries, liquor stores, but most importantly, Kathy Houston. It is from Minya. It's ASI 71370, and it is a pen in the shape of a wine bottle.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I need one.
Oh, Rachel likes that. All right, you can see these products online at asicentral.com/radio. Thanks, Michelle. We are out of time today. Thanks for listening to everyone. Thanks to today's show sponsor, Hanes. Be sure to check in with us again, same time next week. Have a great week, everyone.